Welcome to Homeschool Companion, your source for information, motivation, and inspiration. If you're part of the homeschool community or simply interested in learning more about home-based education, stay tuned. Together, we'll examine the latest resources, learning styles, and teaching techniques. We'll speak with experts in the field to help you uncover every homeschool advantage. We'll also present suggestions on how to keep Christ in the curriculum as we explore fresh ways to teach and learn. Here's your Homeschool Companion host, author, educator, and children's ministry specialist, Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for spending this time with us. Today's scripture is Psalms 142, 6 through 7. Listen to my cry, for I'm desperate in need. Rescue me from those who pursue me, for they are too strong for me. Set me free from my prison that I may praise your name. Then the righteous will gather about me because of your goodness. Praise God. We're reading from the book by Johnny Erickson Tada, and today is titled The Day's First Battle. And as I read that, I thought, man, that happens to me all the time. I go from almost weeping in despair, and by the time I talk myself up out of bed, I'm ready to go forward. So these are her thoughts. There are moments at the dawn of each day, brief seconds in the transition between sleep and waking, when great battles are won or lost. Just this morning, in those in-between moments of waking from sleep but not yet opening my eyes, I had a decision to make. Can I face this day? Do I have the energy? Can I muster the strength? In those fleeting seconds, I had to choose what kind of day it would be. Would it be a good day? Would I place my trust in God for strength? If you're not almost 70 years old and a quadriplegic, it's difficult to explain. But when you lie in one position all night, unable to move, it makes the whole prospect of waking up so unappealing. Some days it seems like scaling a mountain and my mind shrinks away from it. Sometimes I simply don't want to face one more day of paralysis and chronic pain. This morning, however, with the cover still pulled up and my eyes still closed, I connected with the Lord Jesus, who neither slumbers nor sleeps. Lord Jesus, there are a zillion things I need to catch up on today. An appointment with the oncologist, a radio interview, a staff meeting, a dinner commitment. And Lord, my emotions are telling me I don't want to do any of it. But I know that if I give in to my feelings, I will end up on a dark, discouraged, defeated path. Lord, help me. I don't want that. So Lord, right now, by faith, I'm laying claim to Psalm 79:8. May your mercy come quickly to meet us, for we are in desperate need. Lord, I claim that verse. I own it. I embrace it. And I believe you will give it to me right now, all the grace available through it. All of that flashed through my mind and soul in just seconds. And when I opened my eyes on the day, I had grace. I can't explain it, but it was there. I had the grace of God and the God of all grace on my side. I had unmerited favor streaming straight from heaven, filling my heart with courage and giving me his perspective. If there is one thing God wants for you and me in those first waking moments, it is the realization of our victory in Jesus. We are not to feel defeated before the day begins. He wants us to be victorious right from the get-go, to be more than conquerors. And with that realization, he wants us to extend the same grace we have received to others in our world who may be experiencing defeat and discouragement. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for your grace that can meet us in whatever circumstances we find ourselves. Thank you that you will carry us through and that soon we will be reunited with you and those that we have lost and loved so much. May we feel your Holy Spirit in the words of this show as we talk about parenting and homeschooling and educating our children. May we praise you for the providence in our lives and at the same time hold up to you those families that are suffering illness or lack of resources. We pray for our nation and ask for healing there. All this I pray in thy holy name. Amen. Ta-da! Arts and crafts. I talked a few weeks ago about learning to make the beautiful snowflakes with coffee liners, and now I have a beautiful shamrock you can make for spring. You can talk about the rainbow, and you can have your students, and when I say students, I mean your kids, take a coffee liner with marker and just paint the rainbow. Talk about the different colors and the different spectrums. And then when you spray it with your spray bottle, all of the colors just blend together so beautifully. And there's science in that as well. And then the shamrock is also a symmetrical thing that you would do. So you fold the paper into fourths. And then on the corner, on the top of the corner, you cut out like a heart shape. And then you cut that out again, leaving you with a nice little frame for a beautiful rainbow shamrock sun catcher craft. And we are definitely going to use that to replace our beautiful snowflakes that we have hanging from our ceiling. The nice thing about these coffee filter projects is they're so light that it just takes a little bit of scotch tape to hang them up, and they stay. I hang mine up with ribbon. You can hang it up with clear fishing line so it actually looks like it's suspended in air. And then just a little bit of tape on the shamrock sun catcher craft. Now, that being said, if you want to see a picture of what I've tried to describe here, you can go to my Pinterest site. It's MRGamblin2, the number 2. MRGamblin2 is my call letters for it. And I made a board called March to Spring. And I'm going to put any cool things that I try with my students. I have 8 students in grades 1 through 8. So we are like a homeschooling family. Most of them come from a homeschooling background and just want a little bit of transition into a traditional schooling thing. So we're just our culture is homeschooling. And we, even on our school's website, we put a little tab there. So if you go to mygax.org, it stands for My Gettysburg Adventist Christian School.org, you will see there a whole section for homeschooling families. And I'm going to try to put up some of the pictures of what we're doing, because it's just a great resource, an additional resource. So have fun learning. Curriculum Corner. Today I'm going to talk about Easy Peasy. Easy Peasy is an all-in-one homeschool curriculum that exists to enable families to homeschool who thought they couldn't because they didn't maybe have enough money. Maybe mom has had to quit her job to stay home. And nowadays, there are so many families that have to quit their job to stay home with their children who are enrolled in public school. So why not just homeschool? Easy Peasy is, it has a quick start guide. So if you go to the website, Easy Peasy, let's see, what do they call themselves? Easy Peasy All-in-One Homeschool, complete free online Christian homeschool curriculum for your family. Of course, I like to have some balance between doing everything online. I think it's not really good for your kids, but it's free. So you could pick what you wanted to do from it and then supplement the rest. It just is a great resource. That's Easy Peasy All-in-One Homeschool. It's a complete free online Christian homeschool curriculum. And it is also one of Kathy Duffy's top picks. So, you know, if she recommends it, that also gives a little credibility to it. Questions parents ask. Well, this is a question that comes in quite often, and that is, do you take a summer vacation? Absolutely. You know, you don't have to do the exact breaks that your local public school takes, but it doesn't hurt to follow their calendar. And this is why, For one thing, then it doesn't bring up questions when your kids are out and about doing things. And another thing, then, the brain needs to rest. The brain needs to decompress. So in a day, you take little mini vacations that we call recess or breaks. And then at the weekend, and of course, I firmly believe in having a Sabbath rest, you let your brain totally decompress. We always say the fourth commandment at the end of our week. And I remind the students, remember, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. This is God's gift to us. And we need it. We need a break. So having a summer vacation, it's just like that. It gives us a break. It gives us a rest, a time where we can set all book learning aside. And mom can catch her breath. And dad can catch his breath. And family times. There are just so many fun things that kids can learn to do on their own when they don't have someone prescribing everything that they have to do. So that is my opinion. Take it for whatever it's worth. I hope you'll stay tuned for the second part of this show, because we're going to talk about flip classroom. And I'm talking with Dr. Richard Tooley. And I love the idea. It can't be used for every subject, but for older kids, for a subject here and there, just make it a flip classroom. You'll learn all about it. We'll be right back.
Coffee, when are we going to get through this jungle?
Don't. No.
Coffee, what was that?
I don't know, but I will check through the binoculars. Oh, my joy, it is a hippopotamus.
Oh, Coffee, let me see.
This flap is around my neck.
Herbie the Hippo, and I Can Read Animal Story. Check us out at homeschoolcompanion.org. That's all one word, homeschoolcompanion.org.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to Homeschool Companion. I'm Dr. Rose Gamblin, and today we're going to talk with Dr. Richard Tooley from Taiwan. Thank you so much for checking in. We've missed you for a while.
Well, we're having a wonderful winter here, so
yes,
hope yours is good.
He loves to rub it in when it's, you know, all icy and slushy and 30 degrees or less. Then I'll call him and he'll say, oh, it's been 70 degrees today.
Yes, very, very pleasant.
So we thought we would talk about the idea of a flipped classroom. And as with education, there's so many different strategies and things that are tried, and it tends to go in the flavor of the day, so to speak. So I thought, well, we haven't done a show on the flipped classroom, and it definitely has applications to teachers, educators, homeschoolers, parents, church worker, Sunday school worker, Sabbath school worker. So let's talk about flip classroom. Begin, Dr. Tooley, by explaining the overall idea of it.
Okay, in a traditional classroom, typically the teacher will present the material, the lesson material for the day in the form of a lecture usually, and then with some activities or whatever, and they get done, and then there's homework assignments that children are required, or students are required to do, and then students do the homework, get a grade, then take a quiz or a test at the end of it. And that's the process, typically. Well, a flipped classroom changes that just a little bit. The material, the literature, is given to the students before the class, and they are required to go through the literature so that when they reach class, they are ready to discuss, ready to talk about on a deeper level, have debates, other activities that can be done because they have acquired the knowledge before. Now they can turn the knowledge into meaning in the classroom time. So that's pretty much the difference. We don't practice flipped classrooms in most of our schools, but in our Sabbath schools or Sunday schools, and especially in the adult divisions, we've been practicing that for a long time. And we did, for the most part, practice it in our children's divisions too.
Yes, you know, I'm thinking my mind is going 1,000 miles an hour right now. I'm thinking of how this could be applied at what levels. For example, with very young children, when you're teaching them the skills of reading and writing and math, you might not be able to do, you might have to do a modified flip where you had them, you know, you gave them the direct instruction. Then they came back and maybe gave you the direct instruction after they had practiced it on their own, wrapped their own brain around it, or something like that. So tell me, at what levels would you highly recommend the flipped classroom?
I think you could use the flipped classroom once a child began to have the capacity to read, say, at least a third grade level. That's where you could start it. But it doesn't work well in certain levels, certain things like math. I don't think a flipped classroom would be well for math or skills-based educational things. You know, when you're dealing with higher order thinking, trying to develop higher order thinking or critical thinking or meaningful knowledge, then the flipped classroom works. But at a younger age, when they're just starting out, they need to acquire a knowledge base on which to function. And you're not going to acquire a knowledge base by sending them off to try to understand something for which they have no cognitive connection.
I had one teacher, she taught third grade, and she really did a good job of the flipped classroom because she used things like Edmodo, and I could see where you could use Moodle, and she would set up her videos on there. She'd spend a lot of time setting up instructional videos. She used Khan Academy and some she made herself. Then she'd come into the classroom, and while she was working with one group, she would have the other group watch the video and see if they could do the thing themselves. And then she'd come back to them and the other students. So it was a modified type of flipping using technology. And I can see where that would be very beneficial.
Yeah, you're looking at something like Kolb's learning cycle here. You mm-hmm. know, when you begin to look at the flipped classroom, and some of the things she was doing is Kolb's learning cycle. Give them some knowledge, let them practice on it. They gain new knowledge from it. They take that, practice some more, gain newer knowledge, and then are able to incorporate whatever the outcome is into their mental models or into their knowledge base. So the Kolb's learning cycle fits fairly well with this. What she was doing would be something that would be required at the younger ages because children have no real easy way of acquiring formal knowledge. If you were to take a student, for example, who had never done multiplications, and you were to say, okay, here's a set of multiplication problems for you to do, and we're not going to tell you how to do it. Just go home, do them, and then come back and we'll talk about them. That doesn't work very well.
Yes.
You know, on the other hand, if you were to take a student and give them a story to read that they were capable of reading, and then give them a series of questions about that you wanted them to think about. You know, we're not talking about what color was Jane's hair or what did they do, but rather whys, you know, the whys and hows and those kinds of questions that require them to think. And give them a chance to go through and look at those and do some thinking about those and do some writing about them. When they come back to class now, you're not going to grade their writing as an end grade. But you're going to take their writing and use it as a springboard for further discussion to help them develop higher order thinking and a higher level of cognitive processing.
Yeah, it works beautiful on the elementary level when you're teaching, let's say, how to write a compare and contrast essay, you know, to just start out with something simple, you know, give them information, maybe a little video about a banana and a video about an orange, and then let them start generating the information on a Venn diagram or something. What are the things that are the same? What are the things that are different? So they are wrapping their brain around it, but at the same time, the teacher's being very careful and very intentional in what information they're giving them.
Yeah, one of the problems with just straight conventional teaching or traditional teaching has been that we've been very good at imparting knowledge. You know, we dump tons of knowledge on students that has no meaning to them. And so the teacher, I mean, if quite frankly, if you want to put it out there, the easiest way to teach is to lecture. I mean, that's very much the easiest way to teach. But it doesn't, you come out at the end of the year wondering what they learned.
Yes, I want to give you an illustration. So we have this activity we do every morning with the primary grades, grades K through 2, where they take a straw and they put it in a little pocket, and that represents day one. And when we get to 10, we group it in with a rubber band, and we put it over in the tens pile. And then when we get 10 tens, we put it over in the hundreds pile, and we celebrate. It's the 100th day of school. So I gave the little second grader like 5 packages of candles with 24 in each package. And I said to him, you can group them in tens and then just put 10 row of tens on the cake. Or you can count to 100. He's also been practicing counting to 100 because he's dyslexic. So he's been working really hard writing the numbers to 100 every day. Mm. He looked, you know, he hasn't really started into multiplication. He's done some. We have what we call plates, and he plays, uses the plates to group and things like that. But finally he goes, you know what, I think I'm just going to count to 100. So even though I thought, you know, by every day talking about the place values and showing that, you know, showing the groups of tens gathering up, and I thought it was sinking in, but I'm not sure now if it is. And this is the thing with all teachers. We think we have marvelous ways of helping students learn, but then when we do these little informal assessments like, you know, putting 100 candles on the cake, we can see it isn't quite internalized yet.
Yeah, and I think part of that is that in young students, the logic and reasoning portion of their brain is not fully developed.
Yes, well, we have to take a break right here, but when we come back, I mean, we're just getting started. I know that our listeners would like some strategies. I mean, this concept applies even in informal learning. When you're sitting there around the table with your children or grandchildren, you are always imparting knowledge. Thank you for listening to us. We have the second part of this interview on Flip Classroom coming up tomorrow, and I have one last thing to say, and that is God bless.
You have been listening to Homeschool Companion, a production of MRG Media. Be sure to join us on Facebook. Just type in the name Homeschool Companion. For more on this or to contact us, go to mrgmediaministries.com. That's all one word, mrgmediaministries.com.